This recording, District of Columbia 1, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so the story made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at the UNC Hospital. I lived there for 2 years until we moved to Alexandria, Virginia for a year, and then after that I have lived in and around Northwest DC for the past 14 years, including Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is near the northwest-northeast border of DC. My mom is from eastern Massachusetts and Connecticut. She grew up in the New England area. My dad's from around here. On my mom's side, I'm Italian and French Canadian, and on my dad's side, I'm fully Irish. I even have Irish citizenship. So yeah, I go to public school here in DC, so I picked up a variety of terminology and slang and stuff from just interacting with all different kinds of people. I think the most typically DC thing that not typically DC, but the DC slang I use the most is I can't fade that. Like, it's like, I can't even deal with that, sort of, but it's very commonly used around the people I know. I remember in middle school, for a while, everybody would call things guh instead of stupid. They'd say, yo, that's guh. And it was always funny to us because you talk to kids from private schools or from, you know, the suburbs, and they would just have no idea what that meant. So that was a very, like, quintessentially public school DC term, which I think is kind of cool. I do think it's weird. My mom has all this weird Massachusetts slang, so she's all, it's not a yard sale, it's a tag sale, because you put tags on the items, and we're like, mom, all right. But I do think I get my pronunciation of aunt or aunt from her, which I think is the only thing that's Massachusetts-y about my accent. I don't really know, but I don't know if I have a typically DC accent or not, but I've pretty much the entire time I've been speaking, I've been living here, so I must, to some extent.